Our text for today comes from Exodus chapter 33, verses 12 through 23, which can be found on page 80 in the Old Testament section of your pew Bible. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you have said to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, if I have found favor in your sight, show me your ways so that I may know you and find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people." He said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And he said to him, "If your presence will not go, do not carry us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people, unless you go with us? In this way, we shall be distinct, I and your people, from every people on the face of the earth." The Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing that you have asked, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." Moses said, "Show me your glory, I pray." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you the name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one shall see me and live." And the Lord continued, "See, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft on the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." This is the word of the Lord.
Would you pray with me? Good morning, Lord. We want to know you. We want to hear your voice. So speak to us. You've given us this gift of your word, which is so powerful, and it's so perplexing. It is so mysterious, and it is one of the ways that we know you, the very best way. And so use this word to teach us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. When we think about God and the character of God, for many of us, there are three big words that sometimes come to our mind, or if you don't know these words, the concepts certainly do. And they all start with the prefix omni. Omni means everywhere, universal, all-encompassing. So these words are omniscient. God is all-knowing. God knows everything about us. He knows everything that's going to happen. God is omniscient. God is omnipotent. That means all-powerful. God can do whatever God wants to do. And God is omnipresent. God is everywhere to be found. These are great words. These are descriptive words about God and his character, his nature, his way of being in the world. They are wonderful. They are accurate. But they are limited. If this is the only way we know about God, or these are the only concepts that we have when we think about God, then our understanding of God is not completely informed by our biblical texts. Surely the God who created the heavens and the earth that we met back in chapter 1 has these kind of qualities, this omnipotence, this incredible ability to create. But the further that we go into our story, those of you who have been here, you'll know that God can also be quite present in the moment. The problem with the omni-God, if that's our only concept of God, is that that God tends to be very transcendent, very removed, very aloof, kind of above and beyond anything we can imagine or anybody that we can relate to. But the God that we find in Scripture is a God who desires relationship with us, a God who comes and makes his dwelling place with us and among us, a God who speaks, a God who acts, and a God who moves. And nowhere is that image of God portrayed as beautifully and as powerfully and in some ways as perplexingly as this chapter that we read for those of you who are working through the story. The God that we find in the book of Exodus is a God who comes and speaks and moves and acts. A God who has relationship primarily through the intercessor Moses, but also with the people that he has come down to deliver. This is a God who makes himself accessible. He reveals his name to Moses. And the revelation of the name is one of the ways that God makes himself vulnerable. He exposes himself and his character and his presence to the people. The word that comes up again and again in this particular part of the Bible is a really interesting Hebrew word, panem. It's spelled like this and pronounced panem. And in the Hebrew, there are two different English words that are both accurately captured. One is face, and one is presence. Over and over again, God says that he will make his face available or his presence accessible to his people. It says that Moses talked to God like a friend talks face to face, panem a panem, face to face. In this text that we heard this morning, Moses is pleading with God that his presence, his face, would go with the people who have already broken his heart and broken his commandments. People have made an image of gold to worship. They've stepped away from his clear teachings, his rules. And now God says, you can go on without me. My presence, my face, will not go with you. Now, in this text, he's talking to Moses, and he says, my presence will go with you, singular. You will see my face, singular. Just you, Moses, but not all those other folks. But Moses begs with God. He pleads. He says, if your presence will not go with us, all of us, then we will not go anywhere, because it is only your face that makes us distinct from all the people on the face of the earth. The same word is used there, panem. It is the presence of God, the face of God, that makes us distinct. And what is true then is true today. You and I are no different than anybody else. We're not more clever. We're not more holy. We're not more perfect. We're not more kind or more loving, at least not all the time. But what makes us distinct is not our character, it's God's character that he gives to us and makes accessible to us. And the more time that you and I seek the face of God, seek the presence of God, the more that presence begins to dwell in our hearts. And that is what makes us distinct. That's what makes you distinct. And it is a beautiful thing when somebody sees the face of God in your face. I did a funeral recently for a family in our community. It was up at the Pepler Funeral Home. It was a small gathering. People I didn't know from this church, people I had never met before. The person who passed away had lived a long life and a good life, and there were about 25 or 30 people gathered. And in that context, I was able to talk about the goodness of God and the light of life and his redemptive power in the world. I read from the book of Psalms, God knows us completely. And as I was speaking and reading from Scripture and praying, there was this one person in the midst of the sad and the mourning and the grieving people, one person, this one woman, whose face was just attentive, lit up, paying attention, filled. And I just couldn't help at the end of the service as people were coming by. I said, excuse me, do you know Jesus? And she goes, oh yes, I'm a Christian. And I was it was so great to hear you talk about the difference that he makes and the love that he has. You know, just she had a light because she had been reaching out for the face of Jesus in her life. The problem is, if our God is only omniscient and all-knowing, it can create a distance for us. Our prayers become rote, distant, removed, because we really don't think that there is somebody listening. He's too busy with other things. He's too different from us. He's too great. But the God that we meet in Scripture is a God who longs for that kind of intimate talk. Moses begging, pleading, bargaining with him gets God's attention. This God, the God in Scripture, the God we find, invites us into a conversational life of prayer on a day-to-day basis. It's that kind of relational God, the relationship that he longs to have with us. That's what makes us distinct. That's what makes us different. It's his presence residing in us. It's seeking and wanting and desiring that face-to-face contact with God. The song that we sang following our confession this morning is a song that I think is just captures this dynamic of God so powerfully. It's called In the Secret. It says, I want to know you. I want to see your face. I want to hear your voice. I want to touch you. It's a desire for intimacy with God. And friend, if that isn't part of your day-to-day prayer, then I encourage you to make it part of your day-to-day prayer. That you long to know God's face, to see him, to experience him intimately and personally in your life, not as a concept, not as an ideal, but as a living reality in your heart and life. It makes a difference. Face-to-face contact makes a difference. There was a commercial that came out back in 1990. It's about an airline. Some of you perhaps remember this. And the commercial is the CEO of this middle-sized company calling all of his employees together. Maybe this will trigger a memory for some of you.
I got a phone call this morning from one of our oldest customers. He fired us. After 20 years, he fired us. Said he didn't know us anymore. I think I know why. We used to do business with a handshake, face to face. Now it's a phone call and a fax. I'll get back to you later with another fax, probably. Well, folks, something's got to change. That's why we're going to set out for a little face-to-face chat with every customer we have.
No, I'm so old. I remember. Obviously, it was before cell phones, email, internet. Yeah, faxes. What a profound moment of insight. We used to do business face to face. For so many people, that has become their experience of God. I used to speak to God face to face, but things of life's gotten in the way, too busy. Don't know if he's really there. If he really cares, if he's listening, why bother? It may be the most important question that we ask ourselves. Do we know God face to face? Do we know the character of our God? Do we have a relationship with him? And if not, are we willing to make that investment, to take that risk, to try to get to know him? Moses takes the risks. He says, God, I've been talking to you, but now I want to see your glory. I want to see all of you. And interestingly, God's response is, you can see a lot of me, but you cannot see my face. You cannot see my face. My face, my presence that I long to have go with you, at the end of the day, will always remain somewhat obscured, somewhat mysterious. We can know God more and more, but we can never know God completely. At least not in this lifetime. The Apostle Paul, I think, in reflecting somewhat on this particular text in that great chapter of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, the great hymn of love, he says, now we can only see as if we're looking in a mirror dimly. But then we will see him face to face. The day will come when all of the things that remain hidden and mysterious will be revealed to us. And in the meantime, it is our duty, our job as distinctive people to continue to seek the face, to pray the prayer, I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. God, as we come to the table this morning, this is a place of encounter, a place that you have given us to reveal yourself. God, for those who are coming this morning who don't know who you are, whose relationship with you has always been held off at arm's length, we ask that you would draw us, each one of us, close to you today. For you desire to reveal yourself to us that we can see you, hear you, and ultimately follow you. In Christ's name, amen.